my lesson this morning is on, virtual theft. I had a hard time getting a lesson, but I found one on the internet that hopefully you guys will enjoy. Okay, no, not really. Okay, so virtual theft, because it deals with questions about what is legally or morally permissible to do with what we call non-tangible intellectual property. All right. The idea of theft, that sounds a little complicated. The idea of theft used to be a whole lot simpler. You had some object. Someone else comes and they take that away from you. They stole it. They have it now and you don't. This is a fairly easy concept. Hey, they stole it. And just about all societies had rules against stealing. And of course, God certainly frowned upon it. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Virtual theft is when you take somebody's property, but not, real, tangible, physical property. You're taking something else, some other sort of property that isn't a real object. And this is not a new concept. This idea can go back thousands of years, the idea of stealing from somebody, but not stealing possessions. I'll give you an example. In the book of Genesis, Jacob agrees to work for Laban for 7 years in return for his daughter Rachel. Laban reneges on that agreement, gives him a different daughter. Doesn't give him Rachel for 7 years. What did Laban do? He stole 7 years of labor from Jacob. He just stole it. And so this is not a new concept. The idea of stealing from somebody, but not walking away with a physical object. You're stealing their service. You're stealing something that they have control over, and you're taking from them without permission. And the same thing can occur today as theft of service. If I hire somebody to mow my lawn, and after he mows it, I don't pay him the money, I don't say, hey, I didn't steal anything from him. He's got as much money in his pocket as he did when he showed up. But I didn't pay him. I stole the labor that he used to mow my lawn. That is thievery, even if there's no physical objects attached. And obviously, that is wrong. That is a sin. God will condemn that. Now let's look at a media-related example, because that's what most of the virtual theft these days is about. Most people won't argue it's okay to just stiff people after they do something for you. Let's look at a media-related example. Let's say that you decide to sneak into a movie theater without paying. And I hope nobody here would do that, but I honestly have met quite a number of people that would do it, have done it, and didn't feel the least bit bad about doing it. And they had lots of rationalizations for why they didn't feel bad. And we'll look at some of those. Okay, so I'm going to say that that's wrong to do. Sneaking into a movie theater without paying to watch the movie, that's wrong. Okay. Now, if I'm going to say that, I have to say why it's wrong. It's not wrong just because I said. It has to be wrong because it violates some principle that God has laid down. Okay, well, here are some things that you could say. By sneaking into the movie theater without paying, you're taking away a seat from somebody else that paid to see the movie, right? Okay, that could be the case. But what the movie's not sold out? That seat was going to be empty whether I snuck in or not. So what difference does that make? Okay, well, let's say it's because you're trespassing on private property. Now, that one's certainly true. However, I would argue that sneaking into a movie theater without paying is wrong not just because it's trespassing. There's something else that's wrong with it other than just being in their property without permission. People screening a movie, they're providing a service. They're paying rent on a building, they're buying projecting equipment, they're building seats and screens, and they're hiring workers, and they're paying the people who made the movie. And now, to not only recuperate their costs on that, but to actually make a living, which is why they're doing it in the first place, they charge people money to see the movie. They're providing a service, they expect to get paid. If you take the service and you don't pay them for it, you're stealing the service. Because you're not only violating the movie theater, if trespassing was the only thing wrong with it, then your only offense would be against the theater, right? But that's not the case, because you're watching the movie that somebody else made. Some producer down in Hollywood made this movie and is screening it, and you're stealing the movie from them. I'm not saying you're stealing $10. Or whatever a ticket price is. I'm not saying that you're stealing the money of a ticket price. After all, let's say, best case scenario, they were empty seats, the movie wasn't sold out. If I hadn't snuck in, I wasn't going to pay anyway, So it's not like I was gonna buy a ticket and then change my mind and they lost the money on that sale. I just wasn't gonna go, because I'm a cheapskate maybe. So at the end of the day, the theater, they've got just as much money in their cash register as they would have if I'd have stayed home, right? I didn't sneak in and take anything out. I didn't even not give them something I was going to give. Best case scenario. So I didn't steal $10 of U.S. currency, but I stole $10 worth of their services. It's a subtle difference. So apart from trespassing, apart from lost revenue, apart from taking a seat from somebody else, apart from leaving extra trash in a theater for people to clean up after you, apart from creating more line at the restroom, apart from creating extra work for security guards. What's that? Juma? No. Oh. Thought he was pointing at me. He's pointing at one of his kids. Never mind. Apart from all of those things, it's still wrong because you're taking a service that somebody else worked for without permission and without compensation. That's wrong. It's illegal. And more importantly, it is immoral. That is a sin. Now, not everybody agrees that virtual theft is theft at all, if there isn't some sort of direct cost. They think that unless you can point to the missing money, where's the missing money? Where's the missing property? Unless you can point to that, nobody was harmed. They would argue that it doesn't matter that you're in there seeing a movie because you weren't going to buy a ticket anyway. It doesn't matter that you watched the movie. They weren't ever going to make any money off you anyway, so whether you watched it or not, they weren't hurt. That is their argument. Now, if I hire someone to mow my lawn and I don't pay him, most people will acknowledge you're stealing that person's time. Because you can see the guy out there working. You know he lost this amount of time and this amount of energy and didn't get anything in return. Because there's a direct cost there. So that's not controversial. But by stealing a service from a movie theater, people think it doesn't really count as theft because the theater didn't lose anything. They didn't lose any money. They didn't have to do anything they weren't already doing, maybe. So where's the harm? So I would argue that if your idea of morality is that things are only immoral, if you can point to somebody being harmed by it, then you've left the idea of biblical morality and you are buying into the current society's view of morality, that things are only wrong if you can point to a victim and say, this person was hurt by your actions. If you can't point to that, then it's not wrong. And that's exactly the argument that people will use to justify anything from, you know, illegal drug use to prostitution. They'll say, hey, as long as it's consensual and nobody's being harmed, what's the harm? But what, you know, there's nothing, nobody's being harmed, how can you say it's wrong? You know, that's the theory that people are using today, but that's not what we should be using because that's not what's in the Bible. I'll give you an example. Suppose there's a guy in his house, gets a pair of binoculars, looks out the window, and he starts spying on somebody across the street through their window. Is what he is doing wrong? Is he harming this person in any way? Some people, and I've heard people actually argue this, he's not harming her because she doesn't know he's looking at her, therefore she doesn't feel violated because she's ignorant of it. And if that's the case, and suppose you witnessed this happening and you called the cops, that would actually make the spying known, and once the person knew about it, that would make them feel violated. So what? If you see that going on, you should keep your mouth shut, lest this person feel violated? They're being harmed whether they know it or not. Their integrity is being harmed whether they're aware of it or not. So that's wrong to do. You can't say, well, they don't feel violated, they don't feel harmed, they don't know what's going on, therefore it's not wrong. That doesn't make any sense. So this concept, this presents a conundrum for the non-religious people attempting to define some sort of moral code. But it presents no conundrum for Christians, because we realize things are wrong because of certain moral principles that the Bible lays out. They're not wrong simply because somebody says, I was harmed by that. So if I steal something from somebody, and maybe they've got a lot of stuff, and maybe they never even notice it's missing, doesn't matter. Right and wrong are about what I choose to do, not only about whose rights are violated. Even if they never find something missing, it doesn't matter. I will still be guilty of having stolen it. Now let's look at an example of theft that is both physical and virtual at the same time. But where the virtual theft is actually more egregious. Let's look at the computer chip. The computer chip is made out of silicon, which is one of the most abundant elements on the planet Earth. Silicon is everywhere, and it is cheap. The cost of silicon in a computer chip is only a few cents. And the cost to manufacture that computer chip, that specific individual one, is again only a few cents. So why does something that cheap cost, you know, maybe over $100 to run your computer system? It's because it's not the physical chip that costs money. It's the millions and millions of dollars in research and development and manufacturing the machines to make it in the first place. That's the stuff that costs a lot of money. So if you steal a computer chip, you're not stealing just a few cents worth of silicon. You know, you're stealing all of the effort that went into manufacturing it, all the salaries of the people that designed it, all the business overhead that's not a direct cost of the chip itself. See, they have to sell the chip for a few hundred dollars because they have to sell a certain amount to make a profit overall. The individual thing is almost worthless. But overall, they have to do that in order to stay in business. So let's say, again, best case scenario. Oh, I steal a computer chip from the manufacturer's overstock, right? They've got a room of chips that they didn't sell. And now they got a new chip out, so they're probably never going to sell these old ones, right? So I'll just snag one, and they're never going to miss it. They probably weren't ever going to sell it. There's only a few cents worth of silicon in it. So what's the harm? Except that we realize if that happens, you're not charged for the same, you know, we don't take that the same way as if somebody steals a candy bar. Even though the candy bar has actually probably has a greater value as far as physical components. I mean, I like chocolate better than silicon anyway. But the candy bar is probably worth more, and yet we consider stealing the chip to be much worse. Why is that? Because of the virtual component, not the physical. Here, you're stealing something, and it's both a physical theft. I now have an object I didn't have, but it's also a virtual theft. I'm taking all of their labor and all of their service, and I'm using it. All the stuff that they did, I'm using it for my gain, and they're not getting anything in return. That is the theft. And even just secular society recognizes that one is worse than the other. One is a higher level of theft than the other. So there's a difference between the cost of just a particular thing. You have to look at the big picture. And that's why, if you sneak into a movie theater, even if you can't point to somebody's bank account decreasing, it's still wrong. Now, when talking about sneaking into movies, I mentioned trespassing. And I said, well, I mean, it's certainly true, obviously, if you're sneaking into somebody's place, that's trespassing. But that's not the main thing that's wrong with sneaking into a theater. But let's even consider trespassing in the first place. Why is that even wrong? Why is it wrong to trespass onto somebody's property? Because there's a concept that when you own property, you're supposed to have control over it. When you own a thing, you're supposed to be in control of that. That's a fundamental right, if rights exist at all, is controlling what you own. So let's now move away from any examples that have a physical component. Let's look at stealing just a non-tangible property or a service from somebody that doesn't have any components of I have an object or I'm on their property. It's wrong anyway, even without those things, because the owner or creator of a thing is supposed to be in control over it. That's why we have things like patents and copyrights in the first place. If someone does all of the work of inventing something, and then when they try to sell it, they make no money because somebody else copied their idea, we feel that that person has been wronged. That just violates our innate sense of justice. Not only that, it's bad for society because then nobody wants to bother inventing anything, and society stagnates instead of having cool new stuff. But apart from the sort of, you know, selfish thing, hey, we want people to invent so we get new stuff. I mean, apart from that, just the fact that this person created something and somebody else took their idea, we think that that is wrong. But it is a fact. The more abstract theft gets, the less willing people are to call it theft. Not that it isn't. but it doesn't look like it is. It doesn't sound like it is. And most people don't have exactly a super coherent, codified, you know, view of morality, so they don't necessarily mind holding two contradictory opinions at the same time. It's kind of like how some people are perfectly willing to kill a baby in the womb because it doesn't look like a baby. Their idea of a baby is a certain thing, you know, head, two arms, two legs, and everything like that. When the baby's really, really young, see, when babies are really young, they don't have a head and two arms and two legs. Maybe their legs haven't grown yet, but it's still a baby. It's just a really, really young one. But they go, well, but that doesn't look like a baby to me, so it's okay to kill. And that's how they are about theft. You run into a store and take something, and they go, that's theft. You do a certain other thing that doesn't involve maybe a physical component, and they go, well, that's not really stealing. Well, you know, people of the world, they can do that. But if we're Christians, we're not supposed to have that attitude. Our view of morality is supposed to be based on the scriptures. We're supposed to believe what the truth is, not just what we feel like. We have to search the scriptures. We have to obey God. So I can prove that virtual theft is wrong with a single Bible verse. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And that's really all that we need. And other people call that the golden rule, and I call that the golden commandment, because it sounds a little more forceful. Sometimes, you know, and Len talked yesterday about the big lie, you know, mentioning things over and over and over again until people kind of believe it's true. Calling it the golden rule, just, you know, oh yeah, it's the golden rule this, golden rule that. People that don't even read the Bible, they, oh, the golden rule. And it gets sort of bandied about so much that it starts to kind of lose its power, and people forget that that's not like a suggestion or like a rule about, you know, like, take your shoes off before playing on the playground, or, you know, it's not like one of those just kind of rules that, you know, we don't feel are that important. That's a commandment. Jesus said, here, this is how I want you to behave. In fact, this is the entire focus of the law and the prophets, is to behave just this way. So if we do anything that violates that, we're sinning. Because that's just as much a commandment as thou shalt not commit murder. Is how you want to be treated, that's how you're supposed to treat other people. That, and don't murder people, that's the same. That's the same importance. So I call that the golden commandment. And that means I have to respect other people's property and other people's possessions and other people's feelings, because I want them to do the same to me. I don't want somebody walking into my house without permission. I don't want somebody borrowing my car and bringing it back. I didn't steal it. I just borrowed it and I used it and here it is back. I don't want people doing that. So I don't do that to other people. So taking virtual property from people who don't want you to, it's wrong. And it's dishonorable. It's something we should be above. And we'll touch a little bit more on that later. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty, which is downloading MP3s. MP3s in the lesson, so I guess I better talk about it. It's in the lesson title. Well, let me say this. There's nothing inherently wrong with downloading MP3s. It's a way of transmitting data. And to everybody listening to this lesson on MP3, hey, hi from the virtual world. Because we're recording right now. But, you know, saying there's nothing wrong with downloading MP3s, and there's people that'll say that, but it's kind of a dishonest linguistic shell game. They go, it's just a way of transmitting data. There's nothing wrong with MP3s. Well, that's true. But it's like saying there's nothing wrong with shooting a gun. It's just a way of transporting a bullet from one place to another very, very quickly. It kind of depends who you're shooting at. If you're shooting at targets, there's nothing immoral about firing a gun. If you're shooting at your neighbors, that's a different story. So downloading MP3s, yeah, it's just a computer file. There's nothing moral or immoral about downloading a computer file, depending on if you have the right to be doing it or not. And if you're downloading this lesson, then there's nothing wrong, because we're making it freely available. And there's plenty of you know, musical artists that make their music available for free. It's on their website, you know, or it's at, you know, some other, you know, MP3 repository that has legal MP3s. They've released it. They said, it's fine, you can have it. And there's nothing wrong with that. You want to fill your iPod, you know, with stuff that you got off the internet? That's fine. If the people that made it said you could have it. That's not stealing. They said you could. But what do you do when the owner says, I don't want you to have this. I made this. This belongs to me. And I don't want you to have it. Well, but I really want it, though. So I just take it anyway. Well, that's stealing. Well, but they still have it. It's not like I took their song. I mean, they've still got their song. But I took their service. I took their idea. I took control of their property and decided I could do with it what I wanted to do. I usurped control over what was theirs, what they made. It's an offense against their autonomy over their own possessions. And that is dishonorable. There is no honor in doing that. So what's the alternative? What, are you not supposed to be able to listen to music just because you don't have the money to buy stuff? Well, yeah. Exactly. You know, when I don't know, when I was in school, they taught that there were certain basic necessities to life. You know, like food and water and shelter and clothing and chocolate. Well, they didn't mention chocolate. But there's certain necessities to life. And listening to music on your iPod isn't one of them. And you know, even necessities, even if food's a necessity for life, that doesn't mean you can just take somebody else's food if you're hungry, right? Well, but I was really hungry. And they didn't want to give it to me. They didn't want to share. You know, when you teach little kids about sharing, you're trying to teach them to share, and instead they want to use that lesson to make everybody else share with them. Why'd you grab that from your brother? He wouldn't share, you know. Well, that's, when you're a child, you can get away with that. When we're grown-ups, we can't say, well, they wouldn't share, so I took it, because they should learn to share. That doesn't work. If you're in the desert and you're dying of thirst and some unscrupulous businessman is offering bottled water for $100 a bottle, hey, that's wrong, okay? That's wrong to do. I'm not saying just because it's his water he can offer it for any price. I mean, he can, but he's wrong to do that. He'll have to answer to God for that sort of price gouging. But you know, if he does that, that doesn't mean I can, and I don't feel like paying $100, or maybe I don't even have $100. Well, since what he is doing is wrong, I'll just take it. That's another thing that people repeat over and over again until they forget that it's actually true. Two wrongs don't make a right. Well, that's a cliche. Yeah, but it's a true cliche. Just because people have said it a lot doesn't make it any less true. If this guy does something wrong, I can't do something else wrong and have it cancel itself out. You know, I don't have to listen to music on my iPod. People got along for thousands of years without being able to do that. I can get through the day, especially when there's legal music. But even if there wasn't any legal music, and I just didn't have the money, and this guy has the money, and he has an iPod full of music that he bought, and I don't have any, hey, that's life. You know, there's a lot of cars I'd like to drive that I'll never get to drive because I don't have the money. I don't get to borrow the Ferrari from the guy down the street because he has the money. So yeah, you're supposed to buy the stuff. If you don't have the money, you're supposed to do without. Music and movies are not necessities. If you like them so much, feel free to create your own, by the way. And you'll have control over that because you'll have made it. But I don't have the right to control other people's work. They can decide what to sell. They can set either a fair or an unfair price. If the price is fair, where do I get off rejecting the fair price and taking it? If the price is unfair, that doesn't give me the excuse to take it anyway. Computer software. There's a lot of free alternatives to the popular computer software. You know, you don't need to steal Microsoft Office. They've got OpenOffice. That's a free software people made. People made and distributed free. You don't have to pirate Windows XP. And don't pirate Windows Vista because you don't want Vista in the first place. But you don't have to pirate the operating system because you can use Linux. It's free. Oh, but it's not popular. It's not cool. It's not easy. You know, not like, well, hey, who said life was like that? Who said everybody handed stuff to you? And if they didn't, you just grab it. There's free alternatives. And there's no excuse even if there isn't free. But especially when there is. Well, what if I need Microsoft Word for my job? Like, I have to have it. People are sending me Word documents. Well, so what? You know? If on some level computer software has become a necessity, like a car is a necessity for getting to work, cars didn't used to be necessities, but when the only jobs available are 40 miles away, they sort of become necessities in this modern day and age, you know, in that respect. Well, let's take that as an example. People used to do without cars. Now we use them all the time. And now you can't hardly get anywhere without using them. So does that mean I can hop on the bus without paying and say, hey, you're going there anyway? It's theft of service again, just like the movie theater. So, if you know, needing a particular piece of computer software, if I have some rationalization that it's for my job and I have to have it, this is not like a recreational thing like music, I have to have this for my job, well then buy it. Because you have to buy a car to get to work, or you have to pay the bus to get to work. You know, you don't get to steal those things. Why do you get to steal the software? The problem is, technology has made it easy to steal stuff so that it doesn't feel like stealing anymore. That's always been the case, though. Technology has always been that way. Well, I mean, human nature has always been that way. That it's easier to take stuff when it doesn't quite feel like it is. People probably aren't going to break into your house to, say, steal your cell phone. That feels a lot like burglary, because that's burglary. So it feels like that. But if you leave your cell phone just laying around, there's people that would just swipe it. That doesn't feel quite as like stealing. They wouldn't break into your house, because that feels a lot wronger. But if you leave it out and they take it, that doesn't feel as bad to them. That doesn't feel as evil or as thievish or whatever. And they're more willing to do that. That's why we lock our car doors. If people are going to steal your car, they're going to steal your car. You don't lock your car doors to stop car thieves. They steal your car like that. You lock your car doors to stop the honest people that are just walking by from deciding to open up your car and rifle through your stuff and take whatever they like. You lock things to keep the honest, quote-unquote honest people honest. Not to stop the determined thieves. They're going to get in anyway. So people, it's easier for them to take when it doesn't quite feel like it. I'm certainly never going to just go into the CD store and grab a CD and walk out again. That feels like stealing. Why, they'll call the security guards after me. I might go to jail. That doesn't seem too fun, so I won't do that. But, you know, if I can go on my computer and with a few clicks, I can do the exact same thing, have the CD. Not the physical CD, but again, that only costs a couple cents. It's the stuff on the CD that costs. The result is almost identical. I might as well have stolen it from the store. The CD itself was only a few cents. It's what's on the CD that I've taken away from the owner of it. But that doesn't seem like stealing to people, so they do that. Now, in most of my hypothetical examples so far, I've used best case scenarios. Because I wanted to get away from, some of the peripheral wrongness with virtual theft and focus on the core, which is namely usurping control over other people's intellectual property and that being wrong. So I said, hey, you're sneaking into a theater with empty seats and you're not going to buy a ticket anyway and you're not leaving any trash or whatever. In real life, that doesn't happen much, hardly. The best case scenario. In real life, virtual theft does hurt the bottom line quite a lot. Because the fact is that most of the people that are stealing the services, they're not really going to go without if there was better security so they couldn't steal. They wouldn't really do without. They would go ahead and go to the movie anyway. They would pay. Now, maybe not as much. Maybe you sneak into 100 movies a week, in a year, and if you weren't able to sneak in, you might have gone to, say, like 3 movies, because you're a cheapskate, you don't go to the movies that much. That's 3, I'm not saying you stole $100 worth of movie tickets, although you certainly stole $100, 100 movies worth of service. But you in that situation, you're also, hurting their bottom line, because you would have, despite what you might say, you would have gone to the movies at least a couple of times, but now you never go, because you sneak in. Same thing with people stealing CDs. If you can steal CDs, why do you ever have to go buy one? Anymore. So someone that steals 100 CDs off the internet, if they weren't able to do that, they probably wouldn't have gone to the store and bought 100 CDs, but they might have bought a couple. And so when a whole giant group of people do that, what happens? The CD store loses a lot of money. And because it's not the CDs themselves that cost, but all of the overhead associated with doing a business, we end up with retailers losing millions or billions of dollars due to piracy. I'll give you an example. The movie The Dark Knight, it's made over, I don't even know how much by now. The last time I looked it up, it had made $460-something million, and it's only been out a couple weeks. So it's broken a lot of records. That movie was out in theaters for a grand total of 38 hours before the first pirated copies started showing up. 38 hours after the movie opened, and they considered that a success. That was a great testament to their really, really extra tough security, was that they managed to go a whole 30, and I'm serious, they were happy that they managed to go a whole 38 hours without people stealing their movie and selling it. So you know what that means? It means lots of people around the world are not going to pay to see the movie in theaters, or they're not going to pay to buy it on DVD because they've got a pirated copy. And that means that the makers of that movie aren't going to make as much money as they would have otherwise, because people took it upon themselves to say, even though you're the one that made the movie, I'll do whatever I want with it. So each DVD may only cost a few cents to make, but they have to make a certain amount of money back in order to stay in business, in order to make a profit. So if they sell fewer DVDs, what do they have to do? They have to raise prices on the ones that they do sell. So the rest of us pay higher prices because of thieves. Now, doesn't that sound exactly like what happens with shoplifting? And yet people think that stealing a DVD from the store and downloading it off the internet are totally different things, because I'm physically stealing versus over the internet. They think it's totally different, but it has the exact same effect. When people steal stuff out of the store, they have to raise prices to make up for the lost revenue. When you steal stuff off the internet, they have to raise prices to make up for the fact that they're losing money. So the general result of piracy is higher prices for everybody. And you know what that means? Some people aren't going to buy it now because the price is too high. Well, now it's higher. You know, I would have paid, you know, this amount of dollars for that product, but now I won't because they raised the price to this. So they sell even fewer, and they have to raise prices even more, and it's the whole vicious circle, and it's caused by people deciding that they could do whatever they liked with someone else's hard work. We don't call illegal copying of stuff, we don't call that piracy for nothing. Piracy on the ocean involved capturing a ship and taking all their stuff and stealing it. The pirates, they made nothing of their own. They weren't the businessmen, the ones doing shipping and receiving and transporting of cargo and all the hard work that involved, you know, building up economies and people making money and having a better standard of living for everybody. They weren't doing any of that. They just hung about doing whatever they felt like until somebody else showed up that had been working hard, and then they went in and took it from them. Software piracy has been around as long as there's been software. When I was 8 years old, my family, we had a Commodore 64 computer with 64K of RAM. And they actually had meetings at the San Bruno Rec Center for all the Commodore owners to come and all get together and go, hey, you got a Commodore? Yeah, me too. All right, Commodore, yeah. This is called the Computer Owners Workshop, or COW. So we went to the COW meetings. And we, yeah, Commodore's awesome. And the purpose of the meeting, I'm not actually sure what the purpose of the meeting was, but it wasn't piracy, and yet that's what everybody ended up using it for. And the makers of the meeting, they found out piracy was going on, and they were like, look, this is not for people to steal software. And that's what everybody did. Everybody with the 5 1/4 floppy disks that took you like an hour to copy, because you put in a disk and it would read a little bit of it and it would go, okay, put in the new disk. And it would paste a little bit and then say, okay, put in the old disk again because we didn't get it all. Okay, put in the new disk. And you had to sit there and switch disks for like an hour to copy one disk. But that's what people would do. And hey, I was 8 years old. I didn't know any better. We had hundreds of games for the Commodore computer that we didn't pay for. And, you know, like many people, I figured, hey, I don't have the money to be buying these games anyway, so it doesn't matter if I copy it or not. Either way, it's not like I'm going to be out there buying it, right? So what difference does it make? And my dad told me, hey, as long as we're not selling the copies, it's not illegal. And I went, oh, that's nice. Well, that's not true. That's not true at all. And I believed that for years. So, I mean, that, you know, that's always fun when you find out that your parents told you something and you believed it for years because you never questioned it, and then you find out it was just completely wrong. That happened a lot. We're not making any money. We're not making a profit, so it's not okay, it's not wrong. We're just exchanging. Well, that's not true. It's definitely still illegal. It's definitely still wrong. It's a selfish and unchristian attitude to say, hey, I'm not going to buy it anyway, so I'll do whatever I want with other people's stuff, regardless of how they feel about it. That's something I had to outgrow. And it surprisingly, looking back, it took me a surprisingly long amount of time to outgrow it. I mean, I was in my late teens. I was probably maybe 18, or maybe I was even in college by the time that I really figured out that this was really wrong to do. And I didn't like it when I figured that out. I knew it was true, but I didn't like it. I'm like, yeah, fine. I won't copy stuff anymore. Morality. Because at that point, I had gotten accustomed to just taking what I wanted. And when you get accustomed to that, it's hard to go back from that. Better to not steal in the first place, and then you don't have to give up your stolen goods. Okay. Let's skip that, because the introduction went long. I'll blame the Stephen for the long introduction. That's why we don't have enough time to cover our stuff. Okay. A lot of people see downloading MP3s, they see that as file sharing. That's what they call it, file sharing. And they liken it to a library. They go, well, is it wrong to lend a book to somebody? Is it wrong to go to the library? Well, that's not a good comparison. Because at the library, they bought the books in the first place. And while you're reading the book, nobody else is. So it's fine. If you've got a book, it's fine to lend that to a friend. You can do that. That's legal. That's called the doctrine of first sale. It's your book. You can lend it to somebody else. You can throw it away. You can do what you like within certain limits. The book's yours. Same with a CD. You can lend a CD to somebody. What you can't do is make a copy and give them the copy. Because then they're reading it and you're reading it. Because you copied it. You're not sharing. Nobody comes back and says, hey, I thanks for the MP3. Here it is back. Nobody returns any files. You don't share files. Sharing would imply you were lending it and receiving it back. That's not what's going on. What's going on is copying. It's copying, and calling it sharing doesn't make it any less copying. Let's call things by their right names. While your friend's reading the book you lent him, you're not reading it. With file sharing, you could both be listening to the same thing. They just have a permanent copy forever. They never need to go buy it. You lend a book to somebody, they give it back. They go, hey, I liked it. I'll go buy my own because I want to read it again. That doesn't happen if you make, here's a photocopy of the book. You know, cool. Well, I don't got to go buy it now. I can reread it anytime I want. So that's totally different. File sharing and lending, you know, like books, CDs and stuff, completely different. Let's not pretend those are anything similar. How about recording stuff off the TV or the radio and re-listening to it? Well, first, I'll be the first to admit, there are some hard-to-judge areas when it comes to intellectual property. I'm not going to say that everything is just the easiest thing in the world to comprehend. There's certainly some scenarios where it's a little difficult to decide where the producer's rights end and the consumer's rights begin. But I'm not going to cover that stuff during this lesson because I want to get the base principles. If we're truly honorable and we're out not just to grab whatever we can for ourselves, we should be able to use our judgment and that of other fair-minded people to determine a compromise for everybody. And one such is what the U.S. law has determined is that it is legal, it is lawful to record stuff off your television and watch it again for private and personal use. Because the producer, they broadcasted it over the airwaves, or else you paid your cable bill in order to see it. They are getting compensated either through advertising or through direct money. They are presenting that to you, and they are getting compensated in return. You can make a copy for your private and personal use. This is legal. You can't distribute it. And there's a difference between putting something on as a show. If you bought a CD, you can't invite 1,000 people over to your house and play the CD like it's a concert, whether you charge tickets or not. Because you have, when you buy the CD, you're buying the right to listen to it, not the right to distribute it or perform it for other people. So that is legal. And finally, actually maybe we have time to do the thing I skipped. There's a doctrine in the U.S. law called fair use that allows limited use of copyrighted material without requiring permission from the rights holders, such as for scholarship or review. This is a very much abused doctrine. People go, oh, fair use. That means anything I think is fair, I get to just use. Well, it doesn't work that way. For instance, if I read a short story and I like it, and I decide to put it on my website for everybody to read, that's not fair use. I didn't pay the author for distribution rights. I didn't ask them for permission. I'm just stealing their story. However, if I'm writing a review of their story, hey, I read this cool story, it's really neat, and I want to quote a couple of lines from the story, and this was a really good part, and you know, or just as an example of the sort of thing the story's about, that's called fair use. Okay, so big difference. Posting the story, quoting a couple of lines in the midst of some sort of review or scholarly thing, that's what fair use means, and that's all it means. And in that situation, you don't have to pay the author, you don't have to contact him to ask if you can quote a couple of lines of it. That's another one of those things that just we have to just sort of rely on what we consider, you know, fair and honorable to do. And U.S. law, at least, has decided that that's a fair and honorable thing to do, is to be able to quote a few lines from something as a review without having to go to the author and ask them. So a lot of people, they try to take that and expand it to mean to justify anything that they kind of want to do, and that doesn't work. Okay, so hopefully we've made pretty clear that we can't do whatever we like with other people's work. Let's talk about, because I mean, I'm saying this is wrong. This is, I mean, virtual theft, stealing's wrong, stealing's a sin. If you're If you're taking property that isn't yours, if you're taking services that aren't yours, if you're usurping control over other people's possessions without their permission, these things are wrong. They're a violation of the Golden Commandment. They're lacking in honor. They're a sin. So, if I want to repent of that, if I've committed that and I want to repent, what does that involve? Well, repentance involves restitution. Restitution follows repentance. If you repent and you don't want to make anything right about the stuff you did wrong, we can only conclude that means you're not that sorry. You're sorry-ish, but you're not sorry enough to really have turned your life around. So that means if I have selfishly appropriated somebody else's work, the least that I can do is delete it. If I've got an iPod with 10,000 songs on it that I just grabbed wherever I felt like, and I say, hey, I didn't pay anybody for that. I just took it. They don't want me to be doing this. I should be deleting that stuff off my iPod. Or I could pay for it. But 10,000 songs might cost a lot of money. How about that? But I should at least get rid of them if I'm not going to pay for it, because they're not mine. I just took them. So you can't repent of sin and then continue to enjoy the fruits of that sin. And if you were really and truly sorry, that's not something you would want to do. So to summarize, if you participate in illegal copying of other people's work, let me be honest, you're probably not going to get caught. Not by the cops, I mean. If you're downloading stuff off the internet, their cops probably aren't going to raid your house and grab your computer. You're probably not going to go to jail. You might. I mean, that's happened. I mean, a few people have had exactly that happen to them, and some people have gone to jail for copying stuff off the internet. But let's be honest, it's pretty rare. It's probably not going to happen. The odds are on your side, you'll get away with it. But, you know, we don't just not do that because it's illegal. I mean, we shouldn't do it if for no other reason, because we are actually supposed to obey the laws of the land. I mean, that's certainly something the Bible explicitly teaches. We're supposed to obey the laws, lest they contradict with God's word. So we certainly shouldn't be doing it if for no other reason than that. But the higher reason is God knows everything that I do. Even if the people whose stuff I'm taking never find out about it or never get after me, God knows. And if I don't have respect for other people, He's not going to have respect for me. And to sum up, it used to be that people wouldn't steal because they were too proud to do so. They felt it beneath them to lower themselves to taking from somebody else. These days, we seem to have gotten away from that. People boast about what they've stolen. They take pride in how much they've amassed. You know, and that's the opposite of the way a Christian should be. We should be interested in getting back to honorable behavior, to being honest. Stealing should be beneath us. It should be something that we're too proud of our heritage in Christ to sink to that level. Thank you for your attention.